Bloodlines of Illuminati, Part 2. Follow up on the Astors. For the record, here is the background of John Jacob Astor's Masonic involvement, Master of the Holland Lodge No. 8, of N.Y.C-1788. Grand Treasurer of the Grand Lodge of New York 1796-1801. Junior Grand Warden on two occasions 1796 and 1801. Secretary of the Commandery, then called encampments. For a busy man, he kept himself busy in his Masonic work. The Astor family revisited with information on their Chandler branch. There are 13 top bloodlines. 13 families or bloodlines are at the top, and 5 of these families are the inside core of these 13. Prior to Be Wise as Serpents, the existence of 13 top families was not known by very many people. The existence of the 13 families had come out in Barry Smith's book Final Notice in the 1980s, but the names were still unknown. Barry Smith of Australia wrote in his book Final Notice, page 9, there are 13 families or groups heading up the world government plan. These families are portrayed as the 13 layers of blocks found on the strange seal on the reverse side of the U.S. $1 bill. In a little red article, one SRA victim recently wrote that Satanism was controlled by a few families. Recently, one of the DuPonts was on a television show because the DuPonts were trying to kidnap him because they didn't like his support for the book Dope. Inc. I was able to get a copy of the book and was overjoyed to find such an excellent book. My sources have been telling me that the top Illuminati families were behind the drug trade. Yes, Satan's top followers are also the kingpins in destroying humanity for profit through drug trafficking. The following families, besides others, or individuals from these families are mentioned in Dope Inc. as involved in some aspect of the drug trade: the Astors, Bundys, DuPonts, Freemans, Kennedys, Lees, Rockefellers, Rothschilds, and Russells. It is no coincidence that 9 of the top 13 families would get their names in a book which revealed the big names behind the world's illegal narcotics trade. It should be mentioned that some other prominent Illuminati families also play key roles in the drug trade, such as the Bronfmans, Cabots, Shaws, Bacons, Perkins, Morgan, Forbes, Cisneros, and Oppenheimers. Where have we seen such names before? There are names in Dope Inc. that people would do well to know the danger of, such as Louis Mortimer Bloomfield, Robert Vesco, François Genet of Switzerland, Ivan Slavkov of Bulgaria, the Duke of Kent, Master of the Grand Mother Lodge of the Scottish Rite, and Jardine Matheson, to mention a few. All our favorite secret fraternal groups appear in Dope Inc. too. For instance, the Triads, P2 Masonry, regular Freemasonry, the CIA, the Order of St. John, and the Jesuits. The Universal Christian Gnostic Churches, which practices black magic, has a whole chapter showing its connection to the drug trade. Britain's Assassination Bureau Perm Index, which has been mentioned previously in this newsletter, also gets a chapter in the book. In the Be Wise as Serpents book, I examine in detail only the Rothschilds and the Russells. I did not present much to back up my statements about the 13 families. Further, one of the unthinkable items that most people do not want to consider is that their leaders, who they have idolized, may be utterly corrupt. There was nothing to do but sit down and give the nitty-gritty details if the threat from the Illuminati was to be properly understood. The facts would speak for themselves. The ideal solution for both writer and reader was for me to write up my research and for you to read it as a series of articles. There's only so much a person can assimilate at once, and these articles give lots of details. In January of this year, I began a series of articles on the top 13 families which the top experts said nobody knew about. I did this with the hope of stimulating others to notice these families, and to alert a wider sector of the body of Christ. The young colleague David J. Smith, who wrote part of the January 1st article on the Illuminati, was led to carry out further research in addition to what the January 1st article had. Most of this article's information on the Astors then is a result of David's research. Difficulty in determining the facts. Most of the material put out on the Astors shows the unmistakable mark of distortion by writers and historians giving information in line with what the Astors wanted the public to get. Books on the Astors contain both believable and unbelievable material, fact and fiction. Some of the real facts may remain obscured forever, but that has not stopped us from getting the most accurate picture we could reconstruct. The Astors do not make the task of investigating them easy. They have been very secret and very deceptive since they arrived in this nation. John Jacob Astor, the first prominent Astor, was a notorious liar. He was known on occasion to invent romantic tales for the edification of people who annoyed him with questions. Men who knew him best were, therefore, neither ready to discredit completely all legends about his exploits nor to repeat them as gospel. The truth, they suspected, lay somewhere between the two extremes. Terrell, John Upton. Furs by Astor, page 102. John Jacob's son ensured that his father's lies would go unchallenged by incinerating all of his personal records, business records, and other papers. Origin of the family and IT's name. The Astors have come up with various origins for themselves, and those for or against the family have added more ideas. One strong possibility is that the Astors are descendants of the Astorga family found in southern Italy before the 1600s. The most likely meaning of the name is that both Astorga and Astor are variations meaning Astarte, who is the mother of the occult. Her name is also Semiramis. In Babylon, the Trinity was Nimrod, the sun, Semiramis, the moon, and Tammuz, the morning star. In Egypt, these gods were called Osiris, Isis, and Horus. The pictures and statues Isis and horns were renamed by the Roman Catholic Church as the Virgin Mary and the Christ Child. The family in Europe. The family may have moved from Savoy to Waldorf, Germany. Although it is not a certainty, the best explanation from the available clues indicates that Waldorf's coven had some important personages in the witchcraft satanic system and that Johann Astor's family had power. At that time in Europe, the Astor family had no chance to turn their occult power into success. The power and class structure in Europe was rigid and gridlocked. The boundaries between peasant and aristocracy were solidly in place. So the family looked to the New World to transmute their position in the satanic hierarchy into financial wealth and power. Johann Astor in Waldorf was only a butcher. His best son John Jacob, who lived from 1763 to 1848, was selected to establish the House of Astor in America. John Jacob Astor goes to America. At age 16, John Jacob Astor quit helping the family butcher business, went to England and then later to America. Looking at the details of things, and piecing the truth together, it appears that his satanic authority was already in place, because he was able to travel to England, and as a German-speaking peasant converse face-to-face with the Backhouse family in England. Of course, the biographers make it sound like John Jacob Astor left Germany for himself, rather than his family. Michael Astor gives a glimpse of John Jacob's mission. He concentrated almost entirely on building a fortune, on escaping the poverty of his childhood and establishing a secure financial position for his family in America. Astor, Michael. Tribal Feeling, page 11. Overview. The process of 400 years looks like this. Various satanic families moved into the southwest German area in the late medieval time period. Witchcraft associated with Diana was practiced in southwest Germany, and this began to alarm various elements of the Roman Catholic Church. The Astor family provides leadership in the covens in the Heidelberg area. Witchcraft spread virtually all over southwest Germany. An examination of the old records from about 1500 to 1650 show that witchcraft was being practiced throughout the area. I have the names of over 120 towns where it was practiced in SW Germany, the list derived from old German records. The Astors did not have the position, wealth, and power that accorded their position in the late 1700s of occult leadership. In Germany, England, and France, there was no way to climb the social ladder. However, the New World presented opportunities. The Astors sent two sons to prepare the way for John Jacob, one to England, one to America, and then sent John Jacob, their most promising, brightest son, to the New World. While in America, the Astor family helped the satanic elite headquartered in England to maintain its control over America. Having come from Germany, and also due to Satanism being secret, John Jacob Astor's help given to pro-British elite moves were more difficult to suspect. After establishing themselves as aristocrats in America, the tribe of Astors moved to England, where because of their high social position in America, no one questioned the queen bestowing titles of nobility on them. All along the process, people with Illuminati connections opened doors for the Astors. At this point, it needs to be pointed out that there were ties between the following groups: English royalty, English Satanism, English Freemasonry, and German witchcraft, and the Italian black nobility. Taking the liberty I have as author of this article, I am going to digress to give some examples of these connections. Although on the surface this doesn't directly pertain to the Astors, it does. When one paints in the bigger panorama of what was happening in the occult world, and then one sees a blazing star streak across that panorama, then the real history of that blazing star is given by tracking its voyage through that panorama. However, the history books have intentionally hidden the significance of so many of the players and groups that lay along the track of that blazing streak. Specific groups. Order of the Knights of the Helmet. This was an illuminated secret society with Sir Francis Bacon at its head. In order to hide its Masonic rituals, Sir Francis Bacon wrote a play entitled The Order of the Helmet. This was performed in January 3, 1594, and again for 12 days in December 1594. In December 1594, British aristocrats who had been demonically illuminated met and put on a play. Calling their initiation ceremony a play was a great cover. Sir Francis Bacon was made King and Prince of Purple. Various men were invested with the collar of knighthood of the helmet, and took vows, and a series of charges by six high counselors was given in a manner that is very similar to what the satanic SRIA does now. The reader may ask, what does this have to do with the Astors? This is simply a few brief look at the background of what was happening in the occult in Europe. The Queen of England sent Sir Francis Bacon as a young man in his 20s to the continent of Europe. Sir Francis Bacon toured France in places such as Louvre, St. Cloud, Blois, Paris, and Poitiers. He also traveled to Germany, Italy, and Spain. He visited the various royal courts, such as the court of Marguerite de Valois. Marguerite was married to King Henry of Navarre. Her mother was the evil Catherine de Medicis. Sir Francis Bacon also met with many secret societies. At Marguerite's court he spent time with the Pleiad fraternity, which was a group of seven intellectuals. According to the best biographer of Sir Francis Bacon, who was Alfred Dodd, Alfred spent his entire life studying Sir Francis Bacon. Sir Francis Bacon was initiated into a large number of secret occult societies when he was on the continent of Europe. He learned Kabbalistic magic, Egyptian mysticism, Arabian mysticism, and the customs of the German Steinmetzen. Dodd, Alfred. Francis Bacon's life story. London, Ryder & Co., 1988, page 10.4. This information has been provided to give some feel for how the occult in Europe was in contact with its various parts, and that its tentacles included many of the royal families. Hellfire Club. This was a secret satanic cult which was associated with early Freemasonry. When the connections became known between the Satanists of the Hellfire Club and the elite of Freemasonry, Freemasonry and the elite made some radical moves. First, Freemasonry publicly proclaimed that it had nothing to do with the Hellfire Club. Then the Hellfire Club was publicly disbanded by the government, acting on orders from people that tied in with the club. Later, quietly the club was reconstituted. Philip, I, Duke of Wharton, who was the second person of nobility to be Grand Master of England's Freemasons, GM of the Grand Lodge 6-1722-1125-1723, was president of the Hellfire Club. He was an M.P. in the House of Lords. In 1726, he left England and was basically brought into ill repute by the Masons, who distanced themselves from him. George Lee, Earl of Lichfield, was also another prominent Mason who was a member of the Hellfire Club. Benjamin Franklin, who was the head of the American Freemasons in various capacities, and also the head of the Rosicrucians and a number of other secret occult groups, was also a member of the Hellfire Club. Benjamin Franklin's Satanism was not mentioned in my Be Wise as Serpents book, but he was an important Satanist who was part of the Order of the Quest, that is the group which has been entrusted with the plans for bringing in the New World Order of Satan. Remember that John Jacob Astor was very involved with Freemasonry, as were a number of his intimate friends such as New York Governor DeWitt Clinton and General John A. Armstrong. In regards to the Hellfire Club, the Earl of Sandwich, Benjamin Franklin and Sir Francis Dashwood were leaders in the Hellfire Club and were also Postmaster Generals of the British Postal Service. All were Freemasons too. Their positions as Postmaster Generals allowed them total access to the mail and allowed them to spy on the communications of the 18th century. The man who became Postmaster General after Dashwood, who moved on to be AM.P. in the BR Parliament, was the Mason John Wilkes. John Wilkes took over in 1766. Wilkes then brought one of the original Hellfire Club members, a friend of his Willis Hill, to help with the Postal Service. The next Postmaster General was the totally corrupt man the Earl of Sandwich, who served until 1771. Benjamin Franklin spent the summers of 1772, 1773, and 1774 at Dashwood's estate in West Wickham. The caves under Dashwood's estate at West Wickham were used for satanic sexual rituals, which were participated in by Benjamin Franklin. Ordo Saturnus, this is an old secret satanic German order. In the last few newsletters, I have been educating people on the meaning of Saturn. It means Satan. This previous information helps us understand John Jacob Astor, for when he writes in his book A Journey in Other Worlds, the souls of the righteous departed were found on Saturn, where, to a background of weird music, pulsating hearts, luminous brains and centers of spiritual activity quiver with motion. A side comment, John Jacob Astor for had a reputation for his insatiable sexual lust to paw women. One of the people we have to investigate in relation to the Ordo Saturnus is Valentine Jeune, who was John Jacob Astor's mentor in Waldorf, Germany. Jeune may well have belonged to an organization such as Ordo Saturnus. John Jacob Astor leaves Germany for England and America. John Jacob Astor arrived in England and may well have been introduced in England to British intelligence by his brother George. At any rate, he got involved in British intelligence, which has always been closely linked to Freemasonry and the elite. He spent time socially with the Backhouse family, which an aristocratic family. How do you suppose such a supposedly destitute young man could be accepted so easily into the Backhouse social scene? This is not explained by modern biographers. After 4 years, his brother George then sent him to America to represent George's music company. His brother Henry met him when he arrived in 1784 at age 20 and introduced him to the occult world in New York City. Thomas Backhouse & Co. was a leading house in the lucrative fur trade. John Jacob Astor set out to bring the fur trade under his own control. There is an attack that must be faced. The Elite's Committee of 300, a secret legislative group of the Illuminati, decided that John Jacob Astor could expand into the fur trade and into the opium narcotics trade. Dope, Inc. shows that the Astor family was the first American family to get into the opium trade, and that their opium trade had was a special privilege that most other American businesses did not even try to compete with. Why? Dope, Inc. doesn't say this, but I know that it is because the Committee of 300 decides such things, not free enterprise. American furs yielded 1,000% profit in those days. The privilege of fur trading was a pot of gold, so to speak, that the Committee of 300 gave Astor, and it could only have happened because the Astor family in Waldorf was already part of a principal satanic bloodline. The Illuminati members of the Astor family today use their influence to help those of the Illuminati in their dope trade. William Backhouse, the American representative of the London Backhouse family, and John Jacob's brother Henry were two of John Jacob's initial contacts in the New World. Soon John Jacob had met all types of people involved in New York's occult world. John Jacob married Sarah Todd. John Jacob's stepmother Christina Barbara is described as the perfect, cruel fairy tale stepmother. John Jacob raised the principle of self-interest to the level of a philosophy and claimed for himself a natural superiority over his less able and less powerful fellow men, a sort of God-given right to exploit the world and its inhabitants for his personal gain. This was not mere cynicism, but a genuine belief that in some way among the chosen people for whose convenience and advancement life was ordered. Such people make history, but they also pervert it in human terms because their world and the codes that govern it have nothing to do with morality. Sinclair, David. Dynasty, the Astors and their times. Page 59, Astor took Freemasonry seriously. Governor DeWitt, Clinton rose unusually fast in the degrees, but the German immigrant who talked at times as if he had marbles in his mouth was not far behind him. Astor eventually caught up to Clinton. Terrell. Furs by Astor, page 84. DeWitt Clinton's uncle George Clinton, who served as Jefferson's vice president, was also a member of their Holland Lodge No. 8. Archibald Russell of the Russell family, as well as two members of the elite Livingstone family, were members of this lodge too at the time. The Livingstone family were participating in the Committee of 300 at that time. One of my Masonic reference books states that business at the Holland Lodge No. 8 was conducted in German. If so, why were all these other men involved with it who apparently had English as their mother tongue? In the 1193 issue, Astor's dirty real estate deals and his activity as a drug kingpin were discussed. However, Astor's connivance to create a nation on the West Coast wasn't. Thomas Jefferson, who I have now come to realize was a part of the Illuminati, was in on the plot. Jefferson said that he hoped for the establishment of an independent nation on the Pacific coast, bound to the United States by ties of blood, language, and friendship. The Northwest was to become a sovereign nation under Astor's rule. The plan failed miserably due to a variety of reasons. Another item that was missed in the earlier article was how John Jacob Astor profited by using his own courier system and powerful friends to profit from the War of 1812. Astor knew the War of 1812 was coming and he set himself up to profit from it in several ways. His Masonic brother and friend John A. Armstrong helped the British war effort as the American Secretary of War. A descendant of John's later married into the Astors. Astor himself helped the British when he could profit by it. The two Illuminati, Jefferson and Gallatin, gave Astor special sailing privileges which netted him much profit. When war was declared against Great Britain, Astor sent agents to the British forts in Canada to inform them. This gave the British advance knowledge of the war, before the Americans' troops knew. This allowed the British to seize Northern American forts and to ensure that the British had control of the region's fur trade. This was essential for Astor to get control of the fur market, because then when the British furs were embargoed, he had less competition. He obtained special permission from the president to import all furs owned by him and held in Canada before the war. He used this permission illegally to trap new furs. When the war ended, Astor was able to heat everyone else to Europe with his furs and make a killing. Astor cleared his name of shame by sending Washington, D.C. information about a mutiny at a British fort, which allowed the U.S. Army to take advantage of the enemy's weak condition to capture the area. John Jacob Astor traded in guns, and his firearms were used in at least one Latin American revolution. Bear in mind, Latin American revolutions have all been planned in Masonic lodges. When employees of John Jacob Astor would trap for or trade furs with the Astor fur houses, they would be paid with letters of credit. Then Astor agents would be sent out to ambush and kill them, so that the Astor fur company could save money. The deaths were blamed on Indians. Zachary Taylor stated, "Take the American Fur Company in the aggregate, and they are the greatest scoundrels the world ever knew." O'Connor, Harvey. The Astors, page 44. William Backhouse Astor. This was the son of John Jacob Astor. He was infamous for his Hank treatment of thousands of people who rented from him in New York. There were repealed riots by tenants who were opposed by the harsh, filthy living conditions in the buildings Astor owned, but their complaints were consistently ignored by Astor and their riots suppressed by the police. Only half of the children of his tenants lived to age 20. The Astors were deeply involved with the Tammany organization. William B. supported the corrupt administration of the infamous New York mayor, Fernando Wood. The government at that time was a pack of corrupt men. When Wood was exposed, Astor's involvement was overlooked. This is another example of Astor power. John Jacob III. He was the son of William Backhouse Astor. He was just as haughty, just as cruel, and just as corrupt as his father and grandfather had been. He created sweatshops for the poor masses living in his New York tenements. He also supported corrupt politicians such as the criminal boss Tweed, who ran NYC. The Tweed ring stole millions of dollars from the city of New York. before they finally got caught and sent to prison. Mayor Tweed and gang cost the city $200 million. Again, John Jacob Astor III's power allowed his involvement to be basically overlooked by the press, while Tweed went to prison for life. The Chandler Branch. Most of the Astors took off for England, but one branch of the Astors that is clearly involved in Satanism and the occult is the Chandler family. The Chandler family have Astor blood via Mattie Astor Ward. The Chandler's parents died at an early age, and the Rokeby estate in New York was given by the Astors so that a cousin, Mary Marshall, could raise the Chandler children. The Chandler family is one branch that clearly shows all the earmarks of the satanic hierarchy. The behavior of Robert Chandler, Elizabeth Chandler, and Armstrong Chandler have all the classic earmarks of having MPD, and having suffered SRA. The Rokeby mansion that the Chandler family lived in was a haunted house of the first rate. Fairies, ghosts, signs and potents, and all type of occult activity takes place at this mansion, when top RX Illuminati members who have managed to escape Satanism describe their home life, they mention that occult phenomena was a natural part of home life. This certainly is what life has been like at the Chandler Rokeby mansion. The Chaniers are not well known publicly but have been part of the social scene of the elite. Theodore Roosevelt and Senator Henry Cabot Lodge, of the elite Cabot family, were good friends of the Chandlers. The Chandlers created the town Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. At some point I hope to do an expose on the resort area in that general area that is a meat market for the Illuminati. Families like the Bill Clintons go down there every year for vacation to mingle with other middle management families that the Illuminati use as lackeys. Illuminati scouts watch and choose who they want to use for political office, etc. A who's who of the Astor orphans, the Chanier family who are of interest to our study of the Illuminati will now be given. John Armstrong Chandler married mystic novelist and morphine addict Amelie Rives. Once wandering in the twilight she asked wistfully, "Do you think if I drank a whole cupful of warm, bubbly blood, I would see a real fairy?" Then there had been the period during which she suffered anguish over the thought that Satan was banished from paradise forever. She prayed with tears that ultimately he might be pardoned and readmitted to celestial bliss. Thomas, lately. The Astor Orphans, A Pride of Lions, page 76. John carried on spiritual experiments in what he termed esoteric Buddhism. Due to his obsession with this practice and a business fight with his brothers, they put him in an insane asylum. He finally did get released. One has to wonder what the whole story was behind the incarceration. H.I.'s esoteric Buddhism or X-faculty was a trance state where a spirit spoke or did automatic writing through him. His eye color would change when this spirit worked through him. Margaret Livingston Chandler retained the rights to Rokeby. She married into the Aldrich family, which is another Illuminati family. The Aid Riches now own Rokeby. William Chandler was a friend of Tom Foley, who was the Tammany district leader of the Irish-Italian district east of City Hall. Another friend was Jack Follansbee. Jack Follansbee's cousin was William Randolph Hearst, an Illuminatus of the Six Degrees who got Billy Graham's ministry going by financing the first several years. The Hearst family is in the Illuminati. One of the Rothschild descendants, Don Hearst Bauer, has changed his name to Don Hearst. Winthrop Chandler's wife, Amelie Rive, her father William Cabell Rive studied law under Thomas Jefferson. The Roosevelt Connection. The Roosevelt family has been connected to the Delano family, which is a black Venetian noble family that goes back for many centuries. The lives of these families also intertwine with the Astors. Examples of the interweaving are Franklin Hughes Delano, heir to a massive whale oil fortune. He married Lavia Astor, daughter of the original William Buckhouse Astor. James Roosevelt Roosevelt married Helen Astor, daughter of William Backhouse, Jr. James Roosevelt, a Freemason, he married the sister of Vincent Astor's wife. Summary. In our revisit to the Astors, we have examined in more detail the early life of John Jacob Astor and his connections to Satanism. We have touched on his son and grandson who led the Astor family after John Jacob died. We have seen more of their meanness and connections to corruption. We examined how Satanism and the occult had a hold on England even back when John Jacob Astor came to the New World. Three important occult organizations of the 17th and 18th century were introduced. We have looked at the Chandler family, a branch of the Astor family which is part of Satanism. We also looked at how the Roosevelts and Delano families have been associated with the Astors.